My name is Bogdan Żarczyński, and originally I am from Poland. English is my second language. I want to speak to you about our wonderful Savior Jesus Christ. The question which is very important to me: who really is Lord Jesus to me? Well, I open to the Old Testament, to Psalm 27, where it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" It is so wonderful that my God, who created the heavens and the earth, He is my light, He is the light for my soul. As the Holy Bible is telling us, Lord Jesus, in Christ, there is deliverance from darkness, from sin, from iniquity. And the light of Christ is in my soul. It is very important that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Lord, who created the heaven and the earth, is salvation. There is no other name given to mankind whereby we might be saved. Only the name of Jesus Christ. And the Psalm 27 verse 1, it says, "Whom I shall fear? Shall I fear death or devil or anyone else?" No. If you are in Christ, there is no fear, no fear of death or anything else. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of course, nobody. Now, maybe my wife will share with you some of the wonderful good news of the unique and fantastic gospel of our wonderful Savior and God, Jesus Christ. Here she is.
My name is Janet, and I'm the wife of Bogdan Żarczyński. In Polish, that's the correct way to say it, but I'm American, and I hope that you can understand me too. I love the Savior, my Lord Jesus Christ, and I rejoice so much in His Word, because so often I'm at a loss to really explain who He is, and then I read the Scriptures and I see that He is so merciful that He always revealed Himself in His perfect time, and in our lives today, that in His perfect time, when you least expect it, suddenly you behold some part of Him, and I don't mean physically, but in His Word, in your spirit, you know that you know that you know that you know Him. I'm looking here at John chapter 9, after the Lord Jesus healed a blind man, and He found him in the temple. And it says in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when He had found him, He said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is He, Lord, that I might believe on Him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen Him, and it is He that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped Him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, and that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And He was so gracious to reveal Himself to this blind man. I'm also moved that when the Lord Jesus, after He was crucified and rose from the dead, He asked His disciples, He didn't ask them if they were clear on all the doctrines of grace and salvation and the resurrection. He asked Peter, He said, this is in John chapter 21, and so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And I don't know that I fully understand that, but I, the Lord Jesus was always so simple in his in the gospel that he preached himself. And it's a gospel of the love of God shed abroad in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Man. When we know him and believe on him, we love him because he first loved us, and we really love him. It's a union with him and a real relationship.
Hmm.
And it is changing your whole life.
Yeah, that's exactly true. Without the supernatural knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ, it is impossible to see those truths we are speaking to you today. And this is very important that you understand that we are not talking to you today about religion or about different church ordinances, but the purpose we are speaking to you is that you might have everlasting life. Remember what the Holy Scripture is saying, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's from the New Testament, from the book of Romans chapter 6, last verse. Notice again what it says here. The wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. It's not only physical death, but the Bible speaks about second death, which is called the lake of fire. It's the death after the judgment day. So it is the everlasting death. The wages of sin. What is sin? One of the greatest sin, or the only sin which will send man to hell, is unbelief in the Son of God. But the other side of the coin is, like it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the last verse from the book of Romans chapter 6, it says, But the gift of God is eternal life. Mm. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have to understand very clearly that eternal life is only found and only in the person of Jesus Christ. There is no eternal life through the church or through any other man or through what we do, but it's through the work and what Christ have done. What it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. In Christ Jesus there is no condemnation. The law of God was taken care of it by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Christ. We are walking in the Spirit. We are in the Spirit. This is very important, that in the person of Lord Jesus Christ they are all blessings, and we are in him, and we have eternal life. This is very important, because we often have our own faith, our own beliefs. We are followers of different church traditions, or the traditions of man. How many of you seriously study the Holy Scripture? How many of you seriously meditate on the Word of God? Many people are asking, you know, how do I know I am a Christian? How do I know I am delivered from wickedness, from all my sins? How do I know that God loved me? Well, The love of Christ is shed upon our hearts. Do you love God with all your heart and with all your soul? This is the first commandment, to love God. Lord Jesus was speaking, and the apostles, that in the latter days, in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. Do you love God more than all this world, everything what you have, even your own life? If not, you are not in Christ. You still don't have eternal life. Remember, Lord Jesus is calling for repentance. Repent and believe the gospel, and thou shalt be saved. I hope that those few words of encouragement were a blessing to you.
As my husband was saying about the law, the perfect law of liberty is what it's called in the New Testament. That seems like a contradiction, the law of liberty. Liberty means to be free, right? But the law makes us think of being bound and constrained. But yet God calls it the perfect law of liberty. His law is actually bringing freedom. And the first law, as Bogdan has said, is to love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second law is like unto it, the Bible says in Luke chapter 10. If I can talk about my favorite portion of the scripture, it says, someone comes, behold, in verse 25, Luke chapter 10, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And you know the account. Jesus answered, told him about a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And as Bogdan was saying earlier, the wages of sin is death. But the part of the good news and the new life comes when we begin to realize that we're in trouble and we really are dead in our sins and transgressions. And this account of the man that was beat up and left for half dead by the robbers, you know it well. It goes on to say that a Levite came along and seeing him on the ground, he went to the other side, and then a priest came along, and he's seeing him, he also went to the other side. But a certain Samaritan was traveling, and you know that the Samaritans were looked down upon. They were regarded apparently at that time as low in that society. But that Samaritan, he stopped, he picked up the man, he bound up his wounds, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and cared for him. And when he had to leave, he gave the innkeeper some money and said, whatever you need, take this, and whatever you spend on him, I will repay you when I return. And when you think about that account, I remember when I was in a very big religion and I was trusting in myself and in my religion, I heard the same account and I thought, and I was taught also that I was like the Samaritan. I would stop and I would care for these poor beggars on the street, and I would pat myself on the back when I would do so. But as I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I realize that that man that was beat up and on the ground, that's us. That's each of us. We're left for half dead, our soul dead and our body alive. But most of us don't know or perceive that our souls are dead and that we're in trouble, that the wages of our sin is going to be death. And when God, by his mercy, shows us that we're the one left on the ground, we're in the need of someone to come along to save us, then that's the beginning of a wonderful realization of the new life. And if God in his mercy reveals his dear son to us, we'll see him as that Samaritan. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And he's not the one we expect to be the one to help us. We think the priest will help us, or we think the Levite, and we think the law will save us, that we are in our obedience, like this certain lawyer that was tempting the Lord Jesus with this very question. He thought he was secure in the law, but the new law is the law of liberty, and we love our neighbor as ourself. And I believe that that neighbor, because at the end of the account it says, which of these three was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? Which of the three, the Levite, the priest, or the Samaritan? So the neighbor that we're to love as ourselves is that one who helped him, the Samaritan. And I believe that that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Neighbor means near or close by one. And see, we were far off, but we're made near to God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he came down and paid for our sins. He paid for us, and he's coming again to be given an account.
They are so wonderful words of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. There is only one way to heaven, to glory.